The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews murmured about Jesus
because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and his mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. For it is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' And everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God, he has seen the Father. Amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert and they died. And this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that the one who eats it will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
On behalf of the Catholic Archdiocese of Abuja, Nigeria, I bring greetings of peace. Good morning. My name is Agatha Chikelue, and I work as the director of Cardinal Onaiko Foundation for Peace. Cardinal Onaiko Foundation for Peace is a foundation that was created some years ago by the Catholic Archdiocese of Abuja, Nigeria, to support families affected by terrorism, families affected by the Boko Haram insurgency in Nigeria. Also, the foundation serves as a platform to engage people of other religious and cultural backgrounds in the country in inter-religious dialogue for peace. Nigeria is unique in different sense. First, my country happens to be the country with the highest population in Africa. We have a population of about 200 million people. Another unique thing about Nigeria is that it is a country that have equal number of Christians living side by side by equal numbers of Muslims. So for us, it's a big thing. It's a real unique thing for us. But unfortunately, my country has been made popular in a very negative sense by an Islamic terrorist group called Boko Haram. I'm sure many of us are familiar with this terrorist group. For this group, if you do not believe in what they believe in, you are not just a target, but you have been condemned to die. And that was why they started their activities in the country by first killing the Christians. They go to communities, they go to the families, they even go to the churches. Killing Christians at worship, killing people at random. When they come to a family, they kill the father. If the mother protests, they kill her as well. And most of the time, they take away the children. They kidnap the children. A good example of that is the kidnapping of over 250 Chibok schoolgirls in Nigeria. This is what they do, causing tears and sorrows to people, to Nigerians. As if the activities of this Boko Haram group is not enough, there came another terrorist group called the Herdsmen. These Herdsmen started operating also at the north central of the country. They attack communities that are predominantly Christians and kill them, slaughter them, especially at night, midnight, when they are asleep. They ambush them and kill many of them. In fact, 3 months ago, 2 priests was murdered at the altar when they were celebrating Mass with some worshippers who came for morning Mass. About 17 of them was murdered. The confusing thing for us now is that these terrorist groups, especially the Boko Haram, do not only kill the Christians only, but now they are killing Muslims as well. Because in our foundation, we normally have interfaith meetings, and we challenge ourselves, we challenge our Muslim clerics. We tell them, look, if you say that these people are not Muslims, that what they are doing, you are not in support of it, then you have to speak out. You don't have to keep quiet. You have to speak out and condemn what they are doing. And many of them are really doing that. But you know what? They pay the highest price for attempting to do that. They pay with their lives because the Boko Haram track them, follow them up until they kill them. So because of that, a lot of Muslims are being killed as well by this terrorist organization. They also go to the mosque and kill them while they are at prayers. In all this, our government have not done enough to protect us. It is quite unfortunate. They have not done enough to safeguard the lives of the poor people living in the communities. They have not shown much concern to support the communities that are being affected by the Boko Haram insurgency. You have roadblocks of military men all over the place, yet the people are not guaranteed of their safety. A good example of that is that it took my country more than 2 years to recover some of the girls adopted, kidnapped by the Boko Haram. It took them more than 2 years. And this is why, whenever there is attack in the community, instead of the masses running to the police station, most of the time, they run to the church. They run to the church for protection, but we do not have army to protect us. They run to the church, they run to the camps, to the refugee camps. And as a result of that, there is many internally displaced persons camps, what you call refugee camps, all over the place, all over the northern Nigeria, particularly in Abuja. In Abuja alone, we have about 8 IDP camps in Abuja and its surroundings. And the picture you get in this camp are people who ran away from their communities, who ran away from their home for safety. So you can get a family where the mother has either been kidnapped or killed, so she's not there. You can just get the father and the children. Or you can get a family where the husband has been killed or kidnapped, and then you get the mother and the children. Or you get the family where the husband and the mother is there. Maybe if they have, for instance, 4 children, 2 has been taken by the Boko Haram, so they have only 2, hoping to recover the other ones. Or you have children whose parents has been murdered by the Boko Haram. That is the picture you get in these refugee camps. So now these people live at the mercy and charity of organizations who come with relief materials, food, drinks, and clothing to support them. By the way, in each of the camps, we have a population of about 7,000-8,000 persons in one camp. And the population of women and girls are above 4,000, excluding men and children, in most of these camps. So now, these people, as I said earlier, are living at the mercy and charity of organizations like our own and so many other organizations that bring food, that bring relief, assistance, and materials for them. But you know what? This kind of support are not sustainable. Before you know what is happening, they run out of food. Luckily for some men living in the camp, they were able to get job in the city and around. So they are able to engage in something to fend for themselves because they left their businesses and ran away. Mostly they are farmers, and there is no farmland in the refugee camp for them to farm and sustain themselves and their families. So some men were able to get many jobs in the cities. Women, many of them couldn't get. Some were also lucky to engage in something, but a lot of them hadn't that opportunity to engage in something meaningful that will help them to earn a living. And as a result of that, whenever they run out of food, they are in want and in need of anything. Most of the time, they go around begging, both to those in the camp and outside the camp. And you know what? They are being abused for that. Some men take advantage of that. When they come to beg them, most of the time, they ask them to sleep with them before they could support them, before they could help them. And now we have this situation whereby a lot of women in this camp, both the girls, are already pregnant or nursing their baby. You see girls of 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, sometimes along with their mother, pregnant or nursing baby in the camp. These women and these girls don't have the intention of having children because it's not as if they are married, but because of the situation they find themselves. So when we realize this, we discuss with them. We had interaction with some of them, and they told us that if we could help them, if we can empower them, help them to become self-reliant, that will help them so that they don't have to rely on the relief materials or on men or anything. They know that they are not lazy people. They can fend for themselves. But it is just the situation they find themselves in. So because of that, we were able to contract our partner organizations to come and conduct vocational skills training for these women, to organize vocational skills training for 50 women. We cost us about $20,000. So we got this organization to come and do it in one of the camps, just for 50 women. Remember, there are above 4,000 women in one camp only, and we have about 8 camps or more than that. So now, the training we are to give them is on bakery, how to make pastries, local snacks that sell quick in the country, how to make jewelries, bead making, and then how to make liquid soap, disinfectant, air freshener, all those stuff. That was the kind of training we gave them because it has high turnover rates in the country. So when we started this training for 50 women, women kept coming from that particular camp. They kept coming and coming. We couldn't turn them back because we saw help written on their face. They need help. They kept coming until we got about 80-something. We say, no, we are going to stop at 80 because we don't have resources to continue with the training, to take more numbers. And we train these women in the skills that I have mentioned here. And then, as I'm talking to you now, a lot of them are doing well. Many of them, in fact, about 3, 4, 5 of them have moved out of the camp. They have been able to raise some money and rent good houses outside the camp, and they are living there with their families. But you know the challenge now. Other camps around had this, and they have been on our neck. Other women in the camp had this, they have been on our neck. But there is no way we can do this all alone, because we cannot afford to go around about 8 camps, training over 4,000 women in one camp. Where can we get that kind of money? The archdiocese cannot. And by the way, the archdiocese has been trying to see how we can go beyond training the women. Like in one camp, there is no schools in these camps. Some organizations will come train the children for some time, as long as their resources will carry them, and they will go. They have no school there. But in one of the camps, we were able to put up a small structure. We hired teachers for them to teach them, and we provided teaching materials. Even up till now, the school is still in session. The Archdiocese and the Foundation has been doing that. And from time to time, from the money we receive, we get some doctors, about 4, 5, 6, 7 of them, to go to a different camp and provide free medical services for children, because, again, they do not have quality, proper medical services in the camp. They don't have it. So we have been doing this on our own. And then, in addition, is this request now from the women from so many camps to come and help them. In fact, one of the women was telling me that, look, sister, I lost my daughter last year during childbirth because she got pregnant in the camp through the process I have just narrated. And because there is no proper medical services, she died during the childbirth. And she asked me, she said, sister, please come and help me so that her younger sisters will not die like her. That is the situation. Men, too, are not finding it easy, too, because some men who couldn't get a job outside the camp are so depressed. Some of them have resorted to drug addiction, to substance abuse. And they keep telling us, sister, does it mean the foundation cannot do anything to support us, too? So the burden is getting heavier on us. We cannot afford to go around to reach out to more women, to men, to children who need our help in the refugee camps. And this is why I am here today, to solicit, to ask, to plead for your kind, generous support. Please come to our aid. Please come and help us so that we can reach out to more people, to more women who are being abused in the refugee camp, who are being re-victimized a second time in the refugee camp. You have this envelope in front of you in the pews. Please pick one or two, and whatever the Spirit moves you to give in support of this work, be rest assured that God, who sees every heart and who sees whatever that is done in secret, will bless and reward you most abundantly. Thank you very much, and God bless.